All right, well, at first glance, you would think the Republicans and Democrats are bitter partisan enemies who disagree on everything. But could the problem in Washington actually be they agree on too much? When you look beyond the pro wrestling to the actual policy details, Democrats and Republicans who get all their money from the same six industries agree on all the big stuff. They both want to bail out the banks. They both are into endless war in the military-industrial complex. They're both into criminalization of drugs as opposed to looking at drugs as a public health issue. They're both into state subsidization of the housing market. They're both into avoiding dealing with massive energy waste and inefficiency in favor of fuel source debates and nonsense. And of course, they both want to go after WikiLeaks. So, on this Independence Day weekend, we ask, is this lockstep agreement between the two parties on the basic structure of our nation the very thing that is crushing our republic and our independence? So say two libertarian thinkers, Matt Welch and Nick Gillespie, are the authors of a new book, The Declaration of Independence, How Libertarian Politics Can Fix What's Wrong with America. And it is a pleasure to welcome the two of you. I will start with you because you're in the room and you get the privilege of the first response. What are you trying to communicate in this book?
Largely that all of you out there who are independents, who are feeling fed up with the two-party system as we know it right now, it's okay. You're making a rational choice. Independents are the largest political bloc. This is a new thing in American history right now. They've grown for the last 40 years, but especially the last 10, as we've had, as you capitulated. And thank you for rehearsing the first third of our book in your intro here.
It's the entire premise of my television show, so we happen to be shooting in the same direction, but carry on.
Our premise is that's a rational choice. Like everything else in American life, brands are over. We're no longer easily shoehorned into Chevrolet or GM. And so what does that mean for the future? We want to speed up the process by which decisions and policy are made on the individual level and not by one team taking the means of production over the other.
Basically, you're saying that you agree with me completely that the Red Sox, Yankees, Democrat, Republican modeling for political debate is actually a total blockage to the necessary debate on issues, whether it's energy, health care. The question is not are you a Republican or a Democrat? The question is what are the values that you would assign to resolving energy, resolving health care, resolving education, and resolving defense?
And it's an obfuscation of the fact that when the parties actually hold power, that's when they start acting like the same. So you put it, both are in favor of bailout economics. We had just yesterday the Department of Justice decided that they're going to start prosecuting medical marijuana, legal medical marijuana in the states that it's legal right now. Yeah. How is Barack Obama any different than George W. Bush when it comes to prosecuting the war on drugs?
Well, you're missing a critical distinction. I believe that President Obama is a bit taller.
I think they were both around 6'1".
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, then never mind. They have more in common than I thought. Nick, how do we get the structural debate that you want, that I want? We may not agree on how to solve these problems, but we clearly agree that we're not getting the debate that we need to be having in order to return investment and job creation and problem solving and all the sorts of stuff that we all want to have happen here.
Well, one of the things that we talk about in the book is that in so many parts of our lives, when we're talking about things like the workplace, when we're talking about lifestyle acceptance, attempts to kind of broaden the palette of what constitutes an American, we define ourselves differently. When we go online and shop, when we go to the coffee store, we can get more stuff. Decision making has been democratized in that more people are enfranchised to make meaningful choices, and it's been decentralized. We're able to control what's going on in our lives in many, many ways. And I think it's by looking to examples from the private sector where some things are flourishing, where human beings are flourishing. You know, it's easier than ever to get by if you're gay. That's not really because of laws. Politics are a lagging indicator. It's it's better. Air travel is better now than it was 30 or 40 years ago because it was deregulated.
I'll tell you what, everybody likes to think about me as the idealist, and they're like, oh, well, Dylan, you know, you just don't understand how things are. Well, I'm going to play the cynic with you two right now.
Sure.
Love to do all this. It's wonderful. The fact of the matter is that the threat to incumbent power that is represented by the fact that we are so close to this narrative that we're discussing truly infecting the country, where everybody's saying, listen, we need a structural debate. I don't know what the answer is, but this is not the right debate. is the moment at which the status quo power structure, the banking, healthcare, energy, military, agriculture, and communications industries, that are the six industries that fund all political parties and all politicians, are going to find themselves imminently threatened by this and are going to respond, I presume, and they already are, violently to preserve themselves. How do we navigate this without finding ourselves in either a split society or in a true, I don't want to devolve into a state of hostility and war in this country, obviously. Right. We want to evolve into a state of collaborative problem solving, and it seems like this could go either way.
What we talk about is not just independence in politics as a force, but independence from politics as a strategy. Take two different phenomena, both have a lot of similarities, strangely. The Howard Dean anti-war movement, 2004, 2005, you know, came out of nowhere, just exploded on the scene, you know, grandmothers using online technology in ways that no one had ever seen before. And compare that to the Tea Party movement, also a grassroots type of movement, a spontaneous kind of combustion, where they were reminding Republicans that you used to be for limited government, but now you are not. Well, the Howard Dean movement got subsumed within the Democratic Party power structure. He was elected chairman.
Sure, sure.
You know, they came on the reservation, they voted for the anti-war candidate, Barack Obama, and now where is the anti-war left? They don't exist for the most part.
It was brilliant, by the way, on the Democrats' part to do that.
Totally. It's the oldest trick in the Scoutmaster's handbook, that you give the troublemaker a responsible role, and he becomes the enforcer for you. You know, here is one of the ways that you get around it. And first off, Dolan, you should be optimistic, because if the Soviet Union could collapse, it shouldn't be that hard to push Nancy Pelosi and John Boehner around. I don't think. But beyond that, the fact that we're out of money at every level, the federal level, the state level, and the local level, means that politicians, they can't just get the money from the industries you're talking about. They got to get it from taxpayers. And taxpayers increasingly are saying, we've had enough. And again, we might disagree on a lot of the solutions to the questions that are being raised, but the questions are being raised, and you're seeing politicians who are breaking with the mold, whether it's Ron Paul or Rand Paul or Mike Lee or even somebody like Dennis Kucinich or Barney Frank.
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, no, I mean, these are people who are gaining in prominence, and they are, screwing around with these, the kind of settled categories. That is somebody like Tom Coburn, he's a social con, so he's got to be big for big military. In fact, he's one of the leading Republicans, one of the leading senator who is questioning whether or not the military-industrial complex should have a blank check.
And everybody thinks Bernie Sanders is a big lefty. Meanwhile, I can't find a stronger advocate for capital requirements, which I couldn't think of a more conservative point of view than capital requirements than Bernie Sanders. I think that as we understand the narrative collectively better about what it means to be conservative, what it means to have investment, innovation, and problem solving in a way that is fair and collaborative, I think that assigning these values to all systems becomes more and more possible. I suspect the two of you are very much a part of that, and I congratulate you on the book. An absolute pleasure. You guys have a great Independence Day. There's the book, Declaration of Independence. If you're looking for something particularly patriotic, it is even, as you can see, papered in red, white, and blue.